Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm feeling great, Josh. It's Sunday, so we have one fixture left to go, Huddersfield Fulham. So the story is not completely written, but here we are now, podcasting.
The story is mostly written. Unless Mitro, how many goals would Mitro have to score tomorrow for the story to not be written? Like 4, 7? I don't know, a lot.
Yeah, a lot. I've had a pretty good week up to this point. Live, I'm on 77 points, and it looks like I'm going to be in the top 10K before Monday's fixture. So it's the rare Monday fixture for me where if Mitro does anything, it's just a cherry on top. Right. I go in with no worries, no needs, no hopes, no expectations.
Yeah, it's actually a great spot to be. I my game week has not gone as well as yours, but I'm actually in the same position with Mitro. The beauty of it is there's no one that's highly owned on either of those two teams, right? So there's no worry about anyone else doing well. Even if they did, it wouldn't matter, right? Like Quanner goes for 18 points or something, you know, it's still not going to matter. And there wasn't a ton of rotation this game week, except for like Mahrez, a couple other people. So there's not even that concern about like someone coming in off the bench. It's like a free roll tomorrow. So that is a good feeling. And it's, you know, I brought up ownership a second ago, and I think it's relevant because this episode is the differential special. Everyone in this week's episode that we talk about is going to be someone that's owned by less than 15% of managers overall. 15% is just a number that we picked that you could kind of pick any number. You could pick 10% if you wanted. 15 felt about right to us. That includes Raheem Sterling, Brandon, who you brought in this game week.
I did. So I decided to drop Hazard over doubts of him starting. I think what Sarri said, he looked like maybe he could play 30 to 40 minutes. Against Crystal Palace. And based on that, I was just looking at this home Southampton fixture for Raheem Sterling. It was too tasty. I wanted some juice. And we were talking about this in Sterling is a special case in that I could view this as a 1 week punt, which we generally wouldn't recommend. But Sterling is again emerging as he did last season of one of the best attacking midfielders in FPL. So I can still view it as a long-term transfer. Now the difficulty for me is looking side by side at Sterling and Hazard, and how much do I want to play the hokey cokey there? And that will, of course, be a temptation with the Fulham fixture on the horizon.
Right. And you must have lost a fair amount of value, right? I mean, you bought Hazard fairly early, right? Around 10.5 million.
Yeah, so I ended up selling Hazard for 10.9, and at that point he was 11.3. So yeah, I lost 0.4 on him.
Okay.
Now, Sterling having a huge haul might be quite forgiving here that the table might turn a little bit there and Sterling's value will go up. Hazard's might go down. So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, that was a tough one to swallow. If Hazard falls to 11.2, I have just enough money to for free turn Sterling back into Hazard.
I feel like we've like switched bodies this year. You're taking these risks, not caring about team value. Like, this is not the Brandon that we've heard on this podcast the last few years. And, you know, I'm genuinely happy for you because I feel like you're taking some actual genuine chances this year and you're getting rewarded with it could have backfired, you know, like it could have, you could be 300K in the world right now, but everything is worked out and you're inside the top 10K. It's great. I'm not actually sure where I'm going to end up. I haven't looked at my live rank. I'm only on 60 points right now with Mitro to go tomorrow. I was around 20K going into the game week. And so I think I'm above average overall, but I'm below average for the top 10K. Thankfully, Sterling's ownership isn't crazy high. I did captain Aguero. if we want to talk quickly about my team.
If I had to guess, I'd say you'd still be at least in the top 35K tonight.
Oh, I for sure. I was at 32K before today's matches, and I had Aguero.
Okay, so Captain Aguero, you're good.
Yes. Yeah, and Alonso, and you know, 4 from Hazard. It should be okay. Anyway, it was kind of a, you know, just a strange game week. You know, we're going to talk a lot about differentials in a minute, so I'm going to talk about players that I can drop Madison for, and I'm looking forward to doing that. I have decided that James Madison is the Dusan Tadic. He's the new Dusan Tadic. He is a player that creates a ton of chances for teammates who cannot complete those chances. And it's kind of like when you look at this Leicester team sometimes, it like, I mean, you know, God knows it was an awful week for them. And, you know, and so you have to sort of view things through that context to a certain degree. I mean, you know, I don't want to get like, you know, it was awful what happened last week. We talked about it on last week's podcast. They probably shouldn't have even played the match, to be totally honest. It sounds like the players wanted to, that it was left up to them. But if we can just talk strictly about fantasy here, the team does not look like a top 10 team in the Premier League, right? It has like, Jamie Vardy looks washed up. I'm sad to say. I mean, Jamie Vardy is one of my favorite players in the league, and he looks cooked. So yeah, it's just a funny team. And I think some of the, I don't know, like just the way everything's being run through Mark Albrighton seems very weird to me too. Like, I'm not sure why they think he's good enough, to run everything through him. You know, Pere and Chilwell seem decent. I don't know. I don't know. I want to turn this in like the Leicester chat corner or something, but I just don't know who's converting these chances that Madison's creating. And, you know, especially, you know, if Harry Maguire is out for a while, then Madison's even less valuable, right? Because, you know, it's going to take – Harry Maguire is so good on set pieces. So yeah, it's just a right. – yeah, so good 60, point. So 60 points. You know, obviously my Kennedy move was – okay, so, you know – it was frustrating to drop Jimenez like before he gets 12 points, and to drop Richarlison before his brace. I mean, I'm not going to pretend I didn't make those moves. They were bad moves. I wish I hadn't done them. I could go back, I would not have done them.
Hindsight is a killer, my friend.
Exactly. But I did bring in Arnie, and Arnie and Jimenez at least cancel each other out. The Kennedy thing has obviously not worked out. It's been a disaster, but
I don't know if you were on our Slack at all during the Newcastle match, but people were having a lot of fun just typing in Kennedy. I can't believe it. Wow.
No, I was
taking the piss, as they say.
I was in too much of a rage coma by then to really be anywhere on social media. The thing is, I have gotten 2 clean sheet bonus points for him. And I do think that people in some ways underrate the midfielder clean sheet bonus. Like, if you had a midfielder who like played one game, they conceded a goal and they got a yellow card and you got 1 point, you'd be like, oh, that's disappointing. Play the next game, they conceded a goal, but you got an assist and you got 5 points. You'd be like, hey, that's a pretty good haul, right? So, but in the end, that averages up to 3 in both matches, which is what I've got from Kennedy. So, you know, I'm not saying that like 3 is amazing, but for a fourth midfielder to get 3 points, it's not like, it's not the absolute worst case scenario. So I don't know. That's like my like 10-second defense of Kennedy. I hope to get him out of my team very soon. You know, Salah obviously didn't come through. You know, Alonso did. Mendy, I knew that Man City were going to concede a goal in that match because it was just too easy, right? You score 3 goals in 8 minutes or whatever it was. Yeah. Like, you're just going to switch off. Like, how can you not? You know, I mean, they could have scored 8 goals in the first half of that match. You know, so it was just inevitable that you know, someone like Ederson was going to make some dumb mistake just from boredom and not paying attention.
Boredom is an interesting way to put it. And I do agree. He wore it on his face for the rest of the match, too. Sort of like he was standing in goal, ashamed. Man, he's probably ashamed of his incredibly bad head tattoos. But
So I'm on 60. You're on 77. I mean, I think we have kind of similar teams, and I think that it really was the Sterling versus Hazard thing that made the biggest difference, right? I mean,
yeah. My other transfer, I had 2 frees. My other transfer was to bring in Balbuena for West Ham, which I know was a move you were also looking at. And started Fabianski for West Ham to concede 2, not 1, but 2 at home to Burnley was pretty disappointing. But not that is another one that I think we can look at the West Ham defense in the long term. Just a sea of green matchups coming up, starting with Huddersfield away in game week 12, Newcastle, Cardiff, Palace, Fulham, Watford, Southampton, Burnley, Brighton. So it's all good there. There is. I had 2 free transfers, immediately spent them. It felt like grandma wrote me a huge check and then I immediately spent it on video games or something like that.
I am in that position. I have 2 transfers going into game week 12. So that is the one thing that I'm looking forward to is having those 2 transfers. I can fix some problems. Madison, I think, is probably going to go. I know they're home to Burnley and I just don't care. I just don't, you know, I mean, I can't keep a guy like him on my team any longer. It's so frustrating. And his ownership's going to start to dip. his price is going to drop too. So I feel like now is the time to move with him.
Well, good thing this whole episode is going to be about differential mid-price, exactly, midfielders, exactly, forwards, et cetera. So we're going to figure out who you're bringing in for Madison by the end of this ep.
That's very exciting, Brandon. All right, so there's no Always Treating Super League this week. It's just too early to share. So sorry about that. We'll post it on social media. I did want to do a couple new Patreon thank yous, Brandon, some new patrons this week. We have a new producer patron. Thank you to Chris Carter. Hail to our new producer, Chris Carter.
Thanks, Chris.
Two Lord Sorloth patrons, Sam Danby and Brian, and two new Mbakani patrons, Hayden Anderson and Tom Wildman, which is a great name, Tom Wildman. Not almost as good as Tom Wamgams, which is the name of the one of the characters in Succession, which have you watched that show yet, Brandon? It's an excellent show.
You've given me the hard sell on it. I love it. It's up next.
Okay, good.
All right. In addition to our Patreon thank yous, our new Starting 11 Retro Kit contest for November kicked off this game week. A belated congrats to Guy, who as of last week was rated number 9 overall in the world. But he had the best overall point score for the month of October in our Patreon supporters league. And he gets a free retro kit courtesy of Starting 11 from 3retro.com. And if you want to get in on the November Starting 11 Retro Kit Contest, just become a Patreon supporter at any level. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. You can see what other cool features and advantages await you there on our Patreon page.
Yeah, and he had actually another strong game week this week. So I think there's a chance that he might actually have cracked, like, maybe getting close to the top 5 or something like that. So, yeah, pretty exciting there for Guy. We were actually emailing with him this week, which was pretty cool too.
Yeah, a few
cool for us because I haven't
we don't ever get email.
Well, just like, I mean, if someone in this top 10 in the world sent you an email asking for, you know, suggestions. You know, I thought that was pretty neat. You know, so we're obviously pulling for him. And anyway, we're pulling for every manager in the Always Cheating Super League. And it's not too late to join. Just visit our website, alwayscheating.com, and there's a link to auto join.
I think we just crested 5,000 managers in the Super League. So that's huge. It's surely one of the superest leagues. A few rants this week, Josh. The first one comes from Ryan Dika. Yesterday, I dropped around 261,000 places to 583,000 OR. Should I quit now?
No. That was probably temporary.
It's tempting, Ryan. It's tempting, but don't do it. Don't quit. Second rant comes from Danielle Quetti. I am Daniel? Not sure.
Quetti. I'm not sure. I think it's Daniel.
I'm undecided if I should eat my phone or throw my TV out the window. All right, Josh, gun to your head. Do you, if you have a bad week, do you eat your phone or do you throw your TV out the window?
Well, I live on the 60th floor of a building, Brandon. So if I threw my TV, it would be very, very dangerous. It would be like a, it would be a weapon, actually. So I guess I have to eat my phone in that case.
Well, do you have Apple Care on your iPhone? If so, it's kind of a win-win. You can eat your phone and then go in and get the brand new iPhone XS.
That's true. Yeah, I guess that's what I'll do then.
Yeah, look on the bright side, Daniel.
Let's take a quick break, Brandon, and we'll get back with the podcast proper. We're going to talk about differentials. We've got lots of questions. We've got a couple opening questions, too, like some general strategy talk. So let's get right into that. Brandon, it's our differential special. Are you excited? Have we done one of these before? I sort of made it sound like it was an annual thing. I don't know if we've actually done this.
I don't know if we have. We've done sewer dwelling before, where we look at really low priced players. But for differentials, I think it's an interesting season. This season we're in four differentials. Also heading into game week 12 now, as we are, it is that point in the season where the template is A, wobbling, B, getting a little dull, and C, our overall ranks for more or less seem a little fixed right now. How can we break out of that? How can we find a player or just get ahead of some of these bandwagons, maybe to give us an edge?
Yeah, exactly. And I think I was definitely feeling the dullness a little bit going into this weekend. You know, there's this feeling that you kind of have to have some of these people, you know, because, you know, they're performing so well, but clearly it's not totally the case, right? I mean, you know, it's, you know, Robertson has 0 points and 2 points in the last two game weeks. You know, it's sort of, there's this feeling that, like, you know, the Ram, the Robertson, Alonso, Mendy, you know, is locked in. It's the only way you can have a defender line, you know, midfield looked very locked in for a long time. You know, Salah, yeah. Hazard, Madison, you know, one other player, usually Frazier, you know, and then you've got the forward line, which is Arnie, Aguero, and then maybe you've got Isaac Success, you know, as kind of like an enabler. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've got Callum Wilson, you know, I guess Arnie, Wilson, Aguero is kind of like the most popular, you know, forward line there. And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, the forward line worked out this week. The midfield line really didn't, you know, and mm-hmm. If you're in the top 10K and you want to stay there, there is something to be said for just sticking with the status quo. It's definitely the way to go, you know, until, I don't know, until like an injury happens or, I mean, even, I think even today, you know, the Hazard thing, he wasn't going to be out for 3 weeks, right? It looked like he was probably going to play tomorrow. So, you know, if you're leading your mini league, that to me isn't the time when I would drop Hazard, right?
Yeah.
If I was mm-hmm. four spots back, you know, if I was fifth, then maybe that is the time, you know? And so it like, you know, this idea, like a different, it's like, there's so many different ways to talk about what a differential is, you know, and like where, you know, like there are differentials that are really valuable when you're 200,000 in the world. And there's differentials that are valuable when you're 8,000 and you want to get into the top 1,000, right? In that case, you can't just drop all your top players, but your differential can be found in your like third midfielder or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. My general rule of thumb is the differentials happen on the margins of your team, and that third midfield spot is third midfield, third striker, maybe second striker, third to fourth defender. And that's going to give you that edge because, yes, the patience, the rule of patience means that if you're steady with the bigger players, I mean, Salah is still arguable, but the Agueros and Hazards of the world, if you're steady with them, you'll still maintain a certain level of success through, of course, the entire season. The trouble that we could get into with differential talk is you don't want it to be sub in the word knee jerk or sub in the phrase points chasing for differential. Right. So hopefully we can talk about some of these guys without it sounding like we're just reacting to Martial. Is probably going to break all those formulas, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. And I mean, yeah, Marshall to Madison and Marshall is a really easy move to make. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a little tricky this week because it's right before the Manchester Derby, which doesn't seem like the ideal time to make that move. But, you know, we've sort of picked out a few players that we think are differentials. We've got a question here from Harry Haslam. He says, there are several players who could be knee-jerk targets. Marshall, Arnie, Brooks, Charles, Siggy, Jimenez. Wow, he just went through like the entire stats base. Success, Poblete, Barkley. Which are sensible buys? Which are punts? Which are more a Kapu style traps? What are the key indicators, history, stats, etc.? So we're actually going to get into almost all of these players, I think. We've got a ton of questions and we're actually going to start with the midfield because I think that's the most important area. And then we're going to do midfield, forwards, and defenders. And hopefully it'll all, I'm hoping this will make sense as we go and it's not too like disorganized. But yeah, his last question is an interesting one. I think it says, what are the key indicators? Is it history? Is it stats? I mean, you know, there's different ways to look at it. I mean, I mean, it's not always like, even if you know the history and the stats, it's not always easy to draw a conclusion, right? I mean, you were sort of more up on Barkley last week than I was, right? Like, I'm just not a fan of Ross Barkley. But the stats can be interpreted multiple ways, you know, like when he's had like a healthy stretch, he's been very effective. When he's, you know, when he's also been injury prone and sort of stuck on the bench at different times.
In my defense, Josh, I was pro Barkley just generally as a player, but not as an mm-hmm. FPL asset. I will say that in my defense.
Okay.
But to your point, The Barkleys are a little easier to assess because we've known Ross Barkley. We've seen him in the league for many seasons. Then you get to somebody like Isaac Success. he's been at Watford. What is this, his second or third season there? But we really still haven't seen anything of him or what type of player he is. So that he's a little harder to judge. That one you're going more based on team form, player form, and so on.
Yeah. It was actually interesting because, Glenn Murray is the kind of player that I love as a differential, right? Glenn Murray is not a multifaceted player, right? Like if you were just, you know, if this were real life and not fantasy, you wouldn't really be thinking twice about Glenn Murray very often. But in a fantasy lens, Glenn Murray does one thing extremely well, which is he's got an amazing nose for goal, right? And he's on penalties. So he's just, it's going to be very easy for him to get easy goals. You know, he's just, he's going to sniff out his like very few chances. And he's kind of, I mean, Vardy's like a supersized version of this, right? And they're just like, they're going to find these like little narrow windows and they're going to create goals. I mean, the goal that you and I saw him score was a goal that kind of came out of nothing, right? In the West Ham match.
Glenn Murray, of course. And so then that's an interesting comparison. If you're saying Murray and Vardy, and here we're getting to differential talk, we have sort of a preset team template that a lot of managers are dealing with. Glenn Murray immediately jumps out because he's what, at least 2 million cheaper than Jamie Vardy?
2.5 million. Yep.
So that's great. Suddenly we've zeroed in on one great differential candidate.
Right. Exactly. And maybe you, you know, it's kind of tough to get rid of someone like Callum Wilson. And maybe I'm not even saying I necessarily would recommend getting rid of Callum Wilson, but I have Mitro on my team right now, right? I have Arnie and I have Aguero, and Mitro needs to go no matter what he does in the Huddersfield match, right? Because they're about to play away to Liverpool. I just don't think he's going to do anything in that game.
Yeah.
So
Wilson,
I basically
not a differential Wilson at 31.3%, but you're at least going to save a little money there, Mitro to Wilson.
Well,
1.1.
Yeah, but you've got. But I mean, this is the thing. It's like it's my third forward spot, right? So I could, you know, you can go. You don't always have to go for a differential, right? Like maybe that Wilson is the pick there. You could also consider going with someone like Isaac Success, right? Who's around 3% ownership. And Isaac, like if you do that, then you just go with a completely, it's a very different formation you're probably going to go with, right? More of a 4-4-2. And maybe that money that you free up, that 2.4 million or whatever, is the money that can then be used to turn Madison into someone like Christian Eriksen, right? If you want to go like hardcore differential, you know? Yeah. And Eric, like if you told me like that it was like a guaranteed fact that Eriksen was going to start next weekend, I would be very tempted to bring him into my squad just to be different. You know, no one's got Eriksen. I mean, Eriksen, like you want to talk about like, I mean, this is like Sterling is the dream differential right now, because I mean, the only hang up is his price. But if you can, you know, but Eriksen is, you know, 2 million cheaper. And you know, an absolute, I mean, like when, you know, Harry's question of like, what do you look at? I mean, with Eriksen, all you have to do is look at many, many seasons worth of data, right?
Yeah.
11 goals and 10 assists last season, 8 goals and 20 assists the season before that, 6 goals and 16 assists the season before, and has just had this injury, right? And it's just slowly working his way back into the team, right? 1 minute, 9 minutes, 31 minutes. Yeah. But we know it's kind of like KDB. Like we know when he plays, he's going to be super important to that squad. And he actually looked great in their League Cup match last week too. So
on top of that, just looking at Spurs as a team, they desperately need a player like Eriksen to help them unlock that and allow Harry Kane to play a little farther up the pitch. So you're looking at all the upside, the potential that Spurs are going to want to make it work. KDB for Man City, they hardly needed, even though KDB elevates Man City to this other astronomical level, they hardly need him to walk the league. So it's a slightly different comparison there with Eriksen.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the tricky thing with Spurs, they do play Chelsea and Arsenal in game weeks 13 and 14. I'm not sure how scared I am of those matches. You know, Chelsea's at home, Arsenal's away. I could see them get a goal in that Chelsea home match for sure. A couple goals, maybe. Arsenal away, going into this game week, I was kind of convinced that Liverpool was going to smash Arsenal. I don't know if you felt the same way. I thought Liverpool was going to win that match like 3-1 or something like that.
Yeah, I thought I agree. I didn't expect Arsenal to run the game, basically, and stop Liverpool's counterattacking game plan almost entirely. And the Arsenal was running the show the entire match.
It was amazing. And of course, the second I tweeted about how, like, Leno, like, basically hasn't made a mistake since he joined joined Arsenal, like, he immediately fumbles across, gets, like, James Milner of all people.
What was interesting about that one is Alisson had done the exact same thing not moments before, punched across that was coming across the 6-yard box out to the top of the 18, but he wasn't punished for it.
Yeah. Did you think that Alisson was at fault for the Arsenal goal, the Lacazette goal?
Yes, I did. Well, I suppose it is complicated. I'm not a professional goalkeeper.
Right.
I don't know what you're thinking watching that all play out is that Alisson needs to immediately like start running backwards. But there he is. He tries to stand Lacazette up and do what he can to cut off the angle. But Lacazette was just too cool of a finisher.
Forced a ridiculous finish. And I think the real problem was Iwobi's movement, you know, that led to the goal. I mean, it sort of like pulled that, you know, everyone to the left.
Yeah.
And I think Alisson sort of got caught out of position a little bit. But I don't know who was his fault or not. I mean, it feels like it's a tricky one. It certainly wasn't as bad as the Leicester goal he conceded.
I believe a goalkeeper in that situation, if you come out, even if you end up like Ederson today against Southampton, you just have to bulldoze your way through to the ball. Whether you take out the man or not, if you come out, just accept whatever consequences happen and take out everyone.
Yeah, what a finish, though, from Lacazette. By the way, Lacazette is owned by, where is it here? He is owned by 13.4% of managers. That is insanely low. I know he's had a couple blanks this season, but man, wouldn't you have expected that to be higher? I mean, five goals and four assists in the season.
Absolutely. Particularly how mad everyone was for Lacazette. I guess it was 3 or 4 weeks ago when he just started to solidify his starting spot, went on that incredible purple patch. And it's not like he stopped scoring. He scored this weekend against Liverpool, against one of the best defenses in the league.
I thought it was encouraging that they were down 1-0 and it's Aubameyang that makes way, not Lacazette, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy is so locked into the starting 11 right now, right? That he's in it for the full 90. You know, Aubameyang may come and go, but it's Lacazette who's going to be there the whole time. That was pretty surprising.
Yeah, it's like Aubameyang is in a more tactically flexible position where if Emery needs to switch up the tactics, Aubameyang has to, that is the slot in the 11 that has to be malleable, whereas Lacazette, any system is going to have a spot for just a nose for goal, fox in the box sort of guy.
Yeah. Here's the other part of Harry's question. And I know we're spending a long time in this one, but I feel like it kind of sets the table for all the other questions that we're going to take is stats. And how big of a role are stats for you when you I mean, in transfers in general, maybe, but I guess specifically about differentials, are you like, if you're looking for someone in that like 5 million range, let's say you're looking for like a 5 million fourth midfielder. Are you looking at statistics? Are you looking at recent results? Are you going by feel? Like what's your, what's your thinking?
Well, I think you know the answer to this question, because when we were setting up for this particular episode, you pulled some stats from Fantasy Football Scouts Rate My Team. And I was like, I never used that before. I tend to not look at stats. I tend to not pay too much attention to XG. I think the most of what I'll look at is touches in the final third, maybe touches in the box.
Yep.
But mostly what I'm looking at, just shrewd FPL language, is consistency of starts, number of minutes played, and form of the team. Again, I guess form of the team is quantified in eye test.
Form of the player a little bit too, right? Uh-huh. I mean, I do think that, you know, whether that form is actually translated to goals or not, which I guess does mean we're ultimately talking about statistics a little bit here. But, you know, someone like David Brooks, you know, is a cheap option. Team is playing well. He's scored some goals. He looked, you know, didn't pick up any points in the Man United match, but definitely could have, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Very close. Yep. You know, you walk out of that match thinking, wow, David Brooks at 5 million is a great option. Mm-hmm. You know, regardless of some of the tricky fixtures to come.
If you were going to look at one stat, what would it be? If you're contemplating a handful of differentials, what's the one that's...
That's interesting. Just shots on target or like shots on goal. You know, if I'm looking at a midfielder or a forward, just whether they're actual, I guess I value goals.
It shows intent.
Assists. Yeah, right. Exactly. And some people like this, like I'm not like a KDB guy in general, because I tend to be looking for goals for my players more than I'm looking for assists. And sometimes you kind of have to pick between the two, right? Yep. Maybe that's less true nowadays when you've got people like Aguero even someone like Jimenez, you know, was someone who's like a very modern forward.
What about David Silva? Kind of breaks my brain thinking about that too, because he's always kind of been known as literally a little magician and sort of the guy who's going to...
Now he's like a goal machine.
He's a goal machine. Does he ever create assists? He's just going for goal every time. I mean, he looks great. His goal was exceptionally well taken. And,
yeah. It's actually only missed two starts this season, which is a little less than I would have thought. Only has three goals and two assists in the season, which is a little lower than I would expect. I thought didn't you think, if I told you he was on three goals and two assists after 11 game weeks, would that seem low to you?
Yeah, very low.
The guy's like, feels like he's putting them in like every match.
Yeah, it really does.
All right. So FPL Thunder Jeff says, I think it's FPL Thunder Jeff in parentheses, but I kind of like FPL Thunder Jeff.
Jeff.
That sounds cool. It says, what is the optimal number of differentials you want if you're attempting to solidify a top 20,000 overall rank, but also want to increase steadily? I don't know if you can, it's actually hard to separate those two, I think. You know,
we want both. We want to do both.
Get there and stay there. Yep.
I think just to throw out a number, maybe it's two, but if you're looking at the top 20K, I think it's less having a differential and more the way you want to think about it is getting on the next soon to be template player. Right. So, which is kind of the same way of thinking about the same type of player. Like if you were first on Fraser and you look at the, for a 5.5-ish, 6.0 million-ish midfielder, he has had steady differential returns. And that is going to be something you see consistently with people in the top 10, top 20, 5K. So it's more a matter of seeing how you can get on these players before anyone else does. And that's where you'll get the 10-point advantage. And the 10-point chunk that you're going up is the thing that separates top 25K from top 150K.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I feel like we've said this a lot on podcasts over the last, over the last few weeks. I feel like I've said this a lot on the podcast, but you know, a differential is only a different, like, you know, we're going to get sick of saying this word by the end of this podcast, but a differential is only a differential for like 2 or 3 weeks, right? If that, you know, I mean, it's, you know, if a player is consistently doing well and picking up points, it's not going to happen in a vacuum. Like everyone's going to notice, you know, and everyone's going to start to bring those players. I mean, James Maddison wasn't owned by 30% of the league in game week one, right? Mm-hmm. He got there. Ryan Fraser was only a handful of managers early on in the season. You know, we all get there, you know, when we all like sort of figure it out and jump on. So as you said, it is about getting there early. And, you know, I do think the eye test is a factor. I think that, you know, there are times maybe the edge is to find a player that, you know, is played extremely well and maybe was unlucky not to pick up points, which I guess actually probably will involve stats to a certain degree. Identifying those players and taking the slight risk of bringing them in before they've actually delivered, you know, before they've actually done anything.
Yeah. To your point, I'm looking at Anthony Martial's stats page. In game week 9, he was owned by 37,600 managers. In game week 11, that jumps up to 440,000 managers. Right. So it's just, and I would still even say, let's see, at a total of 7% or 8.3% ownership, Martial is still one of these players that's enjoying this long run of being a differential more than most.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, a lot of times there's this feeling that you can't have someone because everyone owns him. And then, you know, it feels that way because you see everybody talking about them on Twitter or whatever. And then you look and you're like, oh, wait, they're only owned by 6.2% of men. Even Arnautovic, right? I mean, you know, not – you would think he was like one of the three most owned players in the league, you know, based on the way everybody was talking about him this weekend. I mean, his ownership is under 20%, you know, maybe not quite a – full-on differential, but you know, certainly I also think that there's a tendency that some people have to only look at the percentage owned, you know, and not think about the percentage that don't own, right? So they'd be like, oh, well, like, you know, everyone's got him, he's owned by 34% of managers. It's like, well, there's still 66% of managers that don't have him, you know. I mean, I was even thinking about this with Aguero, you know, today. I mean, you know, it felt like everyone and their mother had him captain, but I think overall it was only around 30%, 32%. So, you know, getting a 16-point haul doubled from Aguero is huge, you know. Yeah. And even within the top, you know, 10K, I think it was only around 72%. So, you know, there's still 28, close to 30% of the managers in the top 10K that didn't get a 32-point haul today from Aguero. So, you know, I do think that's important to keep in mind.
Before we get to a few more questions, Josh, I have one for you. So I think this is a big thinking differential question. Ignore the upcoming minefield of fixtures that Everton have, but I'm looking at two midfielders, Richarlison and Sigurdsson. Richarlison is you could argue that maybe they're both on decent form. Richarlison coming off a brace is definitely the star right now, but 25% ownership for Richarlison versus 7.8% ownership for Sigurdsson. Mm-hmm. If you're in a position to bring in a player from a team like Everton, how do you look at that situation? Say going into game week 12, do you think Sigurdsson is suddenly more appealing because he has significantly less ownership, or is Richarlison because he's the goal scorer, just you have to go with him, just given the goal scoring and the ownership is bigger?
I think you have to go with him. I do think I needed a couple of weeks to see him as a forward to believe that he could play as a forward. I mean, the early returns weren't encouraging. You know, I think the Man United game, actually, interestingly enough, was the one where it seemed like he started to figure it out a little bit. I actually thought he was pretty dangerous in that match. He, you know, ended up winning a penalty, but I thought he actually, you know, had a couple chances where he could have actually scored a goal in that match too. And then we saw sort of that continue, you know, in the Brighton match. And I mean, he just looks like a really explosive option. I suppose I really do have to consider him this week with two transfers, right?
Yeah.
Even with their sort of difficult fixtures. I've also, as I said before, I'm a little more of a goal guy, and maybe it just, maybe yeah. it's, whether it's to my detriment, it kind of depends on the season, right? Like there are certain seasons where you can pick up a goal scoring midfielder and they're just going to keep scoring goals all year. Right. Yeah. And sometimes even that same player will get, I mean, we've had seasons where Aaron Ramsey was it close to 20 goals? I don't know if he ever actually got 20 goals, but you know, Aaron Ramsey had an amazing season once. You got him at 5.5 million and you just delivered the entire year.
Yeah.
And then you have other seasons where it's like, you know, Mahrez, like the year after Leicester won the league, where he was just sort of frustrating the entire season. Right. And you would have been better off having a more consistent player, like someone like David Silva, where you're getting more assists than goals, or, you know, KDB type or something like that. So, so I guess I just like to swing for the home run a little more. And so I would go with Richarlison.
Maybe it's a rule of thumb then that if you're thinking about differentials, if there is – don't do the coverage pick. Like, just because Sigurdsson seems like a differential to Richarlison – if there is a clear, better alternative on that team who is going to be more likely to get the attacking returns, that's not a place to find a differential. That's what makes the Salah Mane argument kind of interesting, is we don't quite know who's going to come out ahead there. But that's something
that interesting. Yeah. I feel like we really don't, right? Like, I would believe either one outscoring the other at the end of the season. Maybe I slight lean towards
Salah.
Yeah. I forgot his name for a second. I think we talked about him enough on this podcast.
That guy.
Slightly towards Salah. All right, Brendan, I've got an idea. Why don't we take a quick break? And then we've got a ton of differential questions, and we're just going to treat them lightning round style. All right. We're just going to try to answer everyone's differential question, and then we're going to go home. We're going to get out of here.
Great. Sounds good.
Does that sound good?
That sounds fun. Bolt. Yeah. Good.
All right. Let's do it. All right.
Josh, let's talk about our friends at Starting 11. If you listen to Always Cheating, probably you've heard of the Starting 11 Daily Fantasy app, but hey, just assume you haven't. It is okay. It is the newest way to play Premier League Daily Fantasy. Fire up the Starting 11 app for your iPhone or Android phone any day in which there are two or more Premier League matches happening. You can set a squad on the fly. You've got no budgetary restrictions. You can adjust your lineup right until kickoff. Josh, I can challenge you from afar. Just ping you with the app, send you a challenge. You can jump into cash games with strangers around the world. This is the thing. Starting 11, you can play for cash. If you're in the UK, US, Canada, or Germany, you can play for cash prizes. A free game is now available anywhere in the world for your Android. Cash games are coming soon. Other big news from Starting 11 is mini leagues. The new version of the Starting 11 app is currently under review with Apple, and mini leagues could be coming soon to your iPhone. So watch out for that.
Yeah, and just two things I want to add, Brandon. One is that we did all of this differential talk, and we're still in the middle of it. We've got lots of questions we're about to get to in a second here. You know, it's hard to commit yourself to actually making those differential picks, right? And to actually like start, you know, you only get one transfer in the fantasy, you know, in the FPL game. So maybe Starting 11 as a way to kind of like workshop some different players, you know, and, you know, just change your perspective a little bit. Like maybe there's a lot of stats that Starting 11 uses that you don't get in the fantasy game. So including shots, just like actual shots are you know, something that they that counts as points there. So that's kind of maybe a way for you to sort of figure out, you know, who you actually really want to have in your squad.
Okay, so visit starting11.io for more information. There are download links there, as I said, for your iPhone or Android. Also, there's a great tutorial video on starting11.io. It gives you a really quick minute-long rundown on how to actually use the app. The app is beautiful and easy to use. And as you like to say, Josh, if you're playing for cash here, don't waste your money gambling on things you don't understand. This is Fantasy Premier League. Be smart and participate in a game that you do play Starting 11 today.
Brandon, we're back. We are going to take a lightning round's worth of differential questions. We broke it up into midfielders, forwards, and defenders just to make things a little easier to follow. We start things off with FPL Drunk. This is the midfielder category, Brandon. FPL Drunk says, gun to your head, you can have Hazard or Sterling for the remainder of the season, but not both. Who do you choose?
Wow, FPL Drunk caught me on a very Sterling day. So I can approach this a few different ways. Sterling plays for the most attacking team in the league. And as we've seen so far this season, Sterling is almost guaranteed to get a piece of those attacking returns if he starts. And I find that very appealing. The appealing thing about Hazard is when Hazard is in peak form, as we've seen in like one or two seasons at his very best, he can deliver as well. Plus, he has penalties for Chelsea. Where do I lean right now? I don't know. I guess there is still a fear surrounding Hazard that he is a streaky player. Yeah. There are a number of knocks against Sterling, right? Not the best at finishing. Can you see me trying to waffle here, not trying to commit one way or another?
This is gun to your head, Brandon. This is gun to your head. Give me one name.
I'll jump in there with Sterling.
I'm going to go Sterling too, and I'm probably like you, being a little too biased by today. But I just had such a reminder this week about what the Eden Hazard experience is like, right? Which is the inexplicable blanks, the injuries that no one knows about that keep him out for weeks at a time, the incredible cost of having him in your team. He's a great player. I like Hazard on he just seems like charismatic and interesting, but from a fantasy perspective, he can be very frustrating to have in your squad. And for someone that expensive, it's amazing how often he's a risky captain pick. You know, you really don't often want to captain him, which is weird for someone of his, for his talent and the kind of returns that he gets. You know, a couple weeks ago, you were able to in the Southampton game. It was kind of like a perfect scenario where, you know, Man City were playing Liverpool. you know, kind of opened the door for him. But in general, he's like usually second or third on my list of captains. Shano 83 says it's time to move Frazier on for a good differential. Not sure what Marshall's ownership is, but he's tempting.
So here's what I have to say about Frazier and Martial. Let's see.
Frazier.
Not Frazier. So Frazier. Huge ownership, 23.8 ownership for Frazier. Still your earlier point, what does that really even mean? That means that at least 75% of the game doesn't have this guy.
Doesn't have him.
Martial, 8.3% ownership. I do think it's pretty compelling to move Frazier to Martial, but that's just a big price jump. That's a 1.3 million price jump. Frazier is still, to me, unparalleled in the FPL game in terms of value. He started at 5.5 million. A lot of us got on early enough to have built a lot of team value out of this guy, and he's still consistently returning FPL-wise for a guy who's relatively cheap. Turn him into Martial, I think you're going to have to sacrifice your fourth midfielder. Your fourth midfielder is probably going to become somebody you're not going to be that excited about playing. So I would say go for it. I think there is a lot of upside with Martial, but I would say go for it if you're looking to play a 4-3-3, just three in the midfield. And this is assuming you have some template things going on in your team where you've got at least three premium guys. You've got an Aguero up front, Sterling Hazard, three huge premium guys that don't allow you to do four heavy hitters in the midfield.
I'm surprised to hear you say this, because if I had Frazier, especially if I got him early, that guy wouldn't be going anywhere. I mean, his returns are kind of like it's hit or miss a little bit, but three double digit returns for a 6 million midfielder is extraordinary. I mean, three goals and five assists in the season. I would not be moving him, you know, especially because Bournemouth seem like they're a little bit fixture proof in terms of their attack.
They do. Frazier had multiple instances against United where he could have got attacking returns, a couple of great crosses that came in, and they were saved by De Gea. Yeah.
He had a run that was so good that he like injured himself in the first half. Did you see that? He ran like all the way across the field, and then he like kind of just fell down like, ugh, this is too much running.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't know what you expect from this guy. I think he's over delivering in every possible way. And he's not going anywhere for me. So, we'll get to him soon enough. James Maddison. James Maddison is the real template budget mid that jumps out as somebody that needs to be shipped.
Yeah, I obviously agree with you on that. All right. FPL Ant says, Marshall's a United darling. He's getting regular starts and returns and is their main focus of attack. Pray tell, why do I hesitate moving Maddison to Marshall?
I feel like we teed ourselves up for this question. I think that is the move maybe it's not the move for game week 12 because the Manchester Derby puts me off United a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I recognize late last season they actually showed up for that fixture, but not until the second half, and Pogba had to pull off a minor miracle to get a result there. And it just doesn't seem – Martial is in great form right now, but he just doesn't seem like the type of player that will really get up emotionally for a match like that. So I'm looking at maybe a 2 week maneuver.
He always looks horribly depressed. Do you mean?
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
He looks like the Germans are about to breach the Western Front at any moment.
He is the saddest player in the. Like, even when he scores, he looks sad. It must be just. I think it's just his eyes. Or he has sad eyes. I think.
Yeah.
I can understand the temptation. I think the hesitation is really about a fear of the Jose Mourinho midfield, which I talked about this a little bit in last week's podcast. It's a very Man United based fear. I think in general, going back a few years, there was no issue with having midfielders in a Jose Mourinho Chelsea team, right? It's been weird in this Man United squad, but it looks like Marshall's finally, the guy's young. And I think he had kind of an emotional year last year. I think he was sort of fighting for a spot. I mean, maybe he thought he had it kind of locked up and didn't understand
why Alexis Sanchez showed up.
Yeah, Alexis Sanchez showed up. Right, exactly. But I mean, he won it and he's looking great now. And I mean, you know, what else do you need to see from him? You know, I think the only thing you need to see from him, I think, is our better fixtures.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it's interesting because he was great in the preseason as well, you know. And did he get injured at the start? I think he was kind of injured at the start of the season, right? And that sort of delayed the bandwagon. I think he did. Yeah. So, you know, 7.4 million. After game week 12, he's got a nice run coming up. I mean, they play Palace, Southampton, and Fulham in three of the four coming out of the international break. So,
yeah.
You know, I think he's a very interesting option, maybe starting next week. But yeah, I don't think I'd want to bring him in before City away. I don't think it's horrible if you do it. I mean, I think that, I think he could deliver, you know. I don't think it's like a, I don't know. I think that, you know, you might as well, if Madison at home versus Bournemouth versus Marshall away versus Marshall away, I mean, it kind of just makes sense to wait another week for Marshall, right?
Yeah, his price will be going up. Looks like he's due to rise on Sunday night as well, up to 7.5. So if you're just 0.1, 0.2 away from getting him, or if you just have enough cash to get him, I just say keep an eye on fplstatistics.co.uk for anyone who doesn't know. Is a great place to watch for price changes. So just keep your eyes peeled for that.
Rick Cito, for those who brought in Barkley and are already regretting it, how about swapping out for Goodmanson?
Yes, Rick. I think we're waiting for Goodmanson to come up. We both love him.
Sure.
3.1% ownership. I mean, he plays for a dumpster fire of a Burnley team, but he is.
You got to give Barkley more time, though, don't you? You got to give Barkley one more week at least. Home to Everton. I don't know. I would give Barkley one more week. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to hate on Barkley. And I think there was something, a shard of truth to the bandwagon that has been building around Barkley. Mm-hmm. So maybe just like stick for your guns for another week or two, but it is nice to see that there is an asset like Goodmanson waiting there in the wings to bail you out if you need it.
Red Dagger, Andros Townsend, a good differential. Are we getting wound up here, Brandon?
That is a real wind up. Red Dagger, real wind up merchant.
Right, merchant. No Townsend. Come on now. You know he knows I hate Townsend.
That's Crystal Palace attack is complete nonsense.
I don't know how they've ever. I don't know how they've scored a single goal this season. I genuinely don't. And until Sorloth starts getting minutes,
Jordan Ayew is like the most bothered. Is the biggest passenger of all passengers. What a ridiculous signing he was.
How do they luck into a Premier League job? It's ridiculous. Yeah. All right. FPL Booster says, what to do with Mahrez now? Pity the Mahrez owner, Brandon.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked like such a great bet. I mean, but this is, I don't know.
It's a tough one.
Great player. If he starts, there's so much upside, but that's always the big if. I mean, it is an if with all of these City players. Even it was an if, you know, a minute before the team sheet came out Sunday morning, if Sterling was going to start, but. There you go.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Mahrez, 4 goals in 5 matches coming into this weekend. You know, I mean, it was, you know, what are you going to do? You know, this is, we talked about at the top of the podcast, it's going to hit out all these players and, you know, but the Marshall, I mean, okay, even more than Sterling is probably a more consistent starter. I think we can say
definitely
than Mahrez. I mean, Mahrez splits this year are crazy. It's like, if he starts, if he starts, he's incredibly dangerous. And if he doesn't,
he could even miss a penalty. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, look at these. Okay. So the last 6 game weeks for Mahrez are 1, 12, 1, 1, 10, 11, 0.
Yeah.
Like those are insane splits. I don't even, what does that come out to? 33, 36. So it's still 36 in 6 matches, right? Which is, you know, 6 points a game. I mean, you know, 6 points a match, which is, you'd like that for any player on your team, right? To average 6 points a match.
Sure. Like, so, like Ryan Fraser, perhaps.
Right. Exactly. So I think you just have to hold and just assume that this was the one time when he got rested. There is you know, Sané and Mendy continuing to play together, it definitely is maybe a little bit of a concern there. Mm-hmm. You know, it does make me worry a little bit about, you know, what's going to, I mean, because, you know, in this match, you basically, you know, you had Silva, you had Silva, Sterling, and Sané in the front three, right? And then you had Aguero in front of them. And I don't know, it feels like, yeah, maybe there isn't. I guess it's always going to be a concern. I mean, you know, Leroy Sané is interesting now too, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know, he's only, you know, didn't start last week, but then, you know, started two of the last three. It has 21 points in the last three matches with announced. I guess it would depend on how good I felt about my bench, right? If I felt like I had a really strong bench, then I feel better about having someone like Leroy Sané. Sané maybe is a little too expensive at 9.2 million, right?
Definitely.
I can't quite trust.
I think Mahrez is more appealing in the long run for that reason.
If either of them are, really.
There was this amazing moment in the Southampton match. I think it was in the first half where it was like a Guardiola version of the Keystone Cops, in which Sané, Silva, Aguero, and Sterling were just kind of pinging the ball around inside the 6-yard box, and none of the Southampton defenders could touch them, but none of the City players could actually get enough space for a shot. It was just like for a good 15 seconds, they were just doing like, it was crazy.
It was amazing. It was like the most dominant thing you've ever seen in a pitch, right? All right. LT Gray says, Knockart or Gross as options or anyone from Newcastle? Ugh. I don't like any of those options. First of all, Knockart and Gross, I don't think either of those guys are options, right? Because Knockart is he even playing right now? I don't know.
Yeah, he was out of favor for a while. And let's see, Gross is due to come back from injury any day now. It looks like his return date has been pushed back to November 24th at best.
Right.
He's close, but not back in training yet. And yeah, Knockart, I definitely concerned. For a while, I thought he missed one start just because Chris Hughton was trying to sort of G him up and get him
right
to get his head right. But yeah, it looks like, I mean, Brighton doing as well as they are, I don't know that they need Knockhart to really do anything. So no, he's a non-starter for me. For Newcastle,
yeah.
The one guy who stands out for me is Matt Ritchie. And I think that tells you everything you need to know about where I stand with Newcastle.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Newcastle are they're no fun. And yeah, Kennedy even had a chance to pick up a goal. The ball kind of broke to him fortuitously, and he's trying way too. He's actually become the new Cotryard. He's just yes. like Anthony. Actually, you know, it's pronounced Knockard, by the way. We've been saying Knockard the whole time. So
why start?
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Why start now?
You still say Marshall, so it's good.
Is it Martial? I don't know. It sounds pretentious. Ian, it sounds like I'm trying too hard if I say that. Ian says, FPL strategic. I am interested in Spurs players. Sun is on the radar and Lamella looks great. But who can we trust?
I mean, you touched upon Eriksen earlier. I think that's really compelling. But if you don't have 9.2 to shift over to Eriksen, I mean, the two guys that I would want from Spurs right now, Dele Alli finally coming back from his injury, coming into form. I predict good things for Dele Alli. And and beyond that, I do agree. Lamella has looked terrific. I mean, two 90-minute matches in league play alone has been scoring. He's got four goals already. This guy's scoring more than David Silva is. Let's see. And I'm just looking at his ownership. 1% ownership.
1%
ownership. That's an interesting Madison to Lamella pick.
Maybe I'm just thrown off by Lamella's 0% body fat. Like he's kind of looks, he's such a ghostly.
His visage looks like he has mascara on all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess we talked a little bit earlier about Harry Haslam's question about historical data. He's never done it. You know, I mean, this is, I guess, his, what, sixth season in the Premier League. Came to Spurs in 2013-14. Never been able to string together a really solid season. I know he's had tons of injuries over the years, too. But, you know, last year he had 2 goals and 4 assists. The year before that, he had 1 goal and 1 assist. I know he's on the way to have his best ever season, right? He's got 4 goals and an assist in this season. But I just don't know. His price isn't bad at 6.4 million, but I don't know. With Chelsea and Arsenal kind of the next couple of game weeks, it doesn't strike me as the kind of player that's going to deliver in a big fixture like that. So he's not fixture proof, that's for sure.
Right. It's the punt that maybe looks more appealing when the fixtures really open up for them. But then when they open up, you're coming into the festive period when you're going to see quite a bit of rotation in that Spurs midfield.
They have quite a few
options. So that would be concerning to me.
Yeah, and you know, Kane, he's 23.8% owned. It's not incredibly highly owned for a player of his skill set and history. You know, I thought he was trying really hard in this match. Clearly not where you want him to be, though. Right, he had a moment I think in the first half of that game where he had a very classic kind of Kane breakaway. Right, where he took the ball, made a big turn, and then just couldn't finish. You know, and I don't know. It's just, I mean, honestly, that there's something weird about that Wolves. We'll talk about Wolves in a second. So I'll shelve the Wolves talk. But Kane is kind of interesting too, right? If you're doing well, don't bring in Kane. If you're not doing well, why not? Right. Like, sure. It might be worth just taking a shot at him.
Sure.
Cause you know, God knows he's capable of a 19 point. He's capable of a Raheem Sterling level haul.
Yeah.
All right. Dibendu Mukhtari says, is bringing in Felipe Anderson a good option?
I don't see why not. I mean, he's really coming into form, and he's looked good all season. But the great thing now is he's starting to score goals. So that's fantastic. If you look at West Ham's fixtures, they are incredible, save game week 13 when they host Manchester City. But I like that.
Even then, it's maybe. Yeah, I wish that he had been more highly owned at the start of the season so that his price would fall. He started the season at 7 million, which is just inexplicably high for a West Ham player. They weren't that good last year. How did they get a 7 million midfielder? That was way too high. I guess I need to see. I want to see a little more consistency out of him, right? He only has three attacking returns. That is three matches out of 11 where he had an attacking return. Did pick up the brace. I agree with you about the fixtures. They're away to Huddersfield. I don't know. Yeah. Isn't this exactly what we're talking about? Right.
This is, I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah. You've got,
it is what we're talking about.
You've got Madison, who's hugely owned and super disappointing. You've got Felipe Anderson, who's 2.6% owned, cheaper than Madison, and they're about to play Huddersfield. Not a bad time to take a chance.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm talking myself into this, Brandon. I'm getting excited. Yeah. Felipe Anderson in my team. Do I captain him? I guess I have to, right? Triple captain?
I don't know. Can you bear to take the armband off of Kennedy is the question.
No, we'll see. Maybe I can split my captaincy. Can I do that? Can I get 1.5 points from – that would be a cool chip.
Great chip.
The split captain chip.
Split captain.
1.5% from
– bring a little blackjack into this. All right. Next question on the midfield comes from Sidhan Bhatia. Madison replacements. We've talked about a few already. I have no money in the bank. Who do I get that's affordable? All right, so we're just talking Josh into Felipe Anderson as a Madison comparison. You weren't sold on Eric Lamella, and I think I agree. We want to let the fixtures open up a little bit for Spurs. Who else is
Anthony Martial?
Anthony Martial.
Martial. Yeah.
Goodmanson.
Goodmanson, I like that. Yeah. I think that's, maybe... Yeah, if you had a little more money, if you could get up in that 9 million range, I think taking a chance on Eriksen would be a decent shout.
Yeah. Sounds good. I think those are some great options.
Question for you. Is Christian Eriksen fixture-proof? Is he a fixture-proof player? Can you play him in any game?
Historically, yes. I have a lot of concerns about the Spurs team right now, and they almost capitulated there at the end of the Wolves match. They have not.
Right.
They have been eking out all these results to have just this, in what amounts to table wise, an incredible start to the season. But they have not looked convincing to the eye. So the question of Eriksen concerns me because I'm not sure, particularly in the tough fixtures, even in lower table fixtures, if Spurs are going to be able to rack up at least three goals.
Yeah.
Even two.
I don't know. Yeah, I am thinking about doing it just because I do trust him a lot as a player. I think I'll kind of wait to see if there's any injury news that comes out. I have two transfers. I don't plan to use either of them until Friday night. I really want to kind of – I'm doing fine. Like the numbers just got updated. I'm like 30K right now, and I still have – Mitro tomorrow. If he does anything, I'm right back in the top, you know, 25K or thereabouts. So I don't want to do it. I don't want to make a panic move here, but I am, you know, let's say I get 5 points from Mitro tomorrow. Maybe that's asking too much, but they are playing Huddersfield.
Yep.
You know, and I've got two transfers. This is not a panic situation. This is a time to keep.
It's a time to celebrate, sort of forget.
It's a time to celebrate. So, yeah, and I advise this to anybody who's freaking out right now, because give it some time. You know, like make sure. I mean, you know, if Sterling plays the full 90, and well, they have the derby coming up this weekend, so he's probably going to play regardless. But you know, it's a Champions League week, right? You got to be careful who you you know, when you make those moves.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on to forwards, Brandon. I only have two questions here. One comes from Little Jason. He says, how about Morata, 2.2% ownership?
I think you perfectly crystallized this on Twitter at the end of the Chelsea-Palace match.
Yep.
Morata scores a brace. All of a sudden, we're starting to get an itchy trigger finger. We're all going to jump on Morata. And then he does his Morata thing. He blows the breakaway at the end of the match, robs everyone of the Hazard assist, and your tweet establishes Morata again as garbage. Now, you know, as a human, I'm sure he's a lovely chap, but just as an FPL,
by all accounts,
FPL standards, he's a crumpled up page of newspaper blowing down an empty alleyway. So that's a no from me. Also, with Giroud coming back. There will be a rotation.
Could be fighting for a spot again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Sarri even said in his press conference afterwards that Morata is still emotionally fragile, which is not something you want to hear about a player in your fantasy team. That sounds like a recipe for blowing chances.
Who in your life do you want that? Do you want saying that about you? I mean, would you want your wife saying that about you?
No, you don't want anyone to be saying that you're emotionally fragile in a press conference. Yeah. That is embarrassing. It's like, yeah, that you don't want anyone to say that. Jeff Waugh.
Why would you? If he's emotionally fragile, what are you doing saying that in a press conference? It makes no sense.
This is why I love Sarri. I mean, this guy does not. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's just chewing cigarettes and winning matches. I love him. He's so great. Jeff Waugh of Schma says, is Murray worth a punt for a few weeks? Cardiff away next, then Pascal Grobe. No, I'm just kidding. Pascal Gross is back after the international break. Yes, I think Murray is worth a punt. We talked about him a little bit already. Do you think he's worth a punt, Brandon?
I do. This is the move I'm going to be stressing out about this move for the next week, is what to do with Mitrovic after this Huddersfield fixture. Because, I mean, he's going to drop like a stone in the game. His price is going to bottom out, just like Fulham is bottoming out. And who do you get in? And Glenn Murray is definitely a top candidate. I think it sort of depends on how cheap you want to go. Do you want Mitro to make way for an enabler? And you're looking at Isaac's success. You're looking at Raul Jimenez or Danny Ings. Those are probably the three top enabler candidates. Or do you want to go for someone who is like Glenn Murray, who is probably far likely than any of those three other players to consistently get a return?
I think the biggest thing with success is, if you bring him in, will you have the self-control to bench him? Because I have a real tendency to just play three forwards. It's very hard for me not to do that. It's, you know, maybe it's not for other people. They're probably listening to this and laughing. It's just very, they just go with the best formation and that's it. But for me, I always see a way where a striker could score. You know, it's like I can visualize the goals. Like, you know, Rooney used to talk about how he'd visualize scoring.
It's their job.
I visualize. Yeah, exactly. It's their job. Their job.
You
is
had
to score
one
goals.
Job it's very, success.
It's very hard. Exactly. Exactly. So that is the one thing that would worry me a little bit.
I'm not on board with this success thing at all. I feel like we warn people all the time, these 4.5 wunderkinds, they always end up just clinging like barnacles to your team until you play a wild card. And you're so excited to get rid of them.
Totally. Exactly. That's, I mean, that's one of the reasons I regret my my Kennedy move, right? I've got this fourth midfielder who sucks, you know? Like, it's also obvious in hindsight, right? Yeah. You know, but if you haven't done this yet, it might be something worth considering. I don't know. It's maybe there's like a – I could see like on a wild card having like a formation where I had like two Man City midfielders, right? Mm-hmm. And like – You kind of shoulder the burden, like one of them will play, one of them won't. And maybe then, like, I don't know, mm-hmm. it might be worth it. Mm-hmm. All right. We've got a couple of defender questions, Brandon. We're going to wrap things up here. FPL Llama says, can we trust the West Ham defenders as cheap enablers with their fixture run?
I don't know if trust is the right word. I think it's a calculated risk that's worth taking. And mm-hmm. if you compare the way West Ham's defense looks like now to the way they looked at the start of the season, it's a bit of a night right. and day comparison. I think they're much improved. And with such a great run, I mean, they have just a world-class manager in Pellegrini, who, of right. course, he was going to whip them into shape over the course of time. They are still not yeah. a great team. So they will have... they will have mistakes in them, but I think over the course of at least a month, you'll get a couple clean sheets. And if it's an enabler defender from West Ham that allows you to do something else you want to do with your team, I'd say exploit those fixtures. I think it will work. Yeah. I think you'll get something out of it.
It's definitely worrisome how poorly they played at home to Burnley. You know, I don't think we should totally disregard that, but yeah, I mean, it's a sea of green, you know, in terms of the upcoming fixtures. And you would think Huddersfield, Newcastle, Cardiff, Crystal Palace, and four of the next five, you would expect like two clean sheets in those, right? Yeah. You know, yep. And at 4.5 million, you're not going to play that guy every week anyway. You know, it's the same thing with me and Fabianski. I'm rotating him with Patricio right now. So, you know, it's kind of just bad luck. I mean, to only get 1 point from Fabianski in that home fixture was very surprising. Only one save, too.
And I used one of my two frees this week to move Cathcart to Balbuena. And it was less that I thought that Watford's defense was worse than West Ham's. But suddenly it was a way for me to save a little money. Balbuena at 4.4. So if you're looking to make any right. move there, guaranteed starting central defender threat on set pieces, 4.4 Balbuena. Go for it. It's a buy.
Yeah, no, that's good. Josh L., this is me, Brandon, says, what's the deal with Wolves? Is their defense actually good?
It's a peculiar
I'm
question.
I'm asking you this question. Yeah. Are they good? I mean, they seem mentally fragile. Why is it every time they score, they concede a goal, like another one's getting conceded like 60 seconds later?
Yeah, that's
why
true.
Why do they freak out every time a goal is scored?
That's championship football right there. The leaky defenses. I think it would be unfair to expect Wolves just to have a bulletproof defense for the whole season. And I think they'll have sure. rough patches. I think Nuno...
This is a rough patch. It is three rough ones in a row.
So there are two upsides here. We were talking about Patricio before we started recording in that, like, I had the decision to start Matty Ryan or Patricio, and I went with Patricio because I believe if neither Brighton or Wolves are going to keep a clean sheet, Patricio is going to walk away with some save points, which was true.
Sure.
Of Doherty, I would also say if they lose that clean sheet, he's still basically a striker for Wolves.
Yeah.
So I think there's still enough upside to not completely panic with the likes of Doherty or Patricio. So I'm not panicking.
Yeah.
It sounds like you are panicking.
I feel like, well, I'm not panicking, but I, you know, I have been doubling up on Wolves for a while, the double up defense, and that would work out really well for me. And just conceding three in a row, they just play a little scared sometimes. I don't know. I mean, but then they do have, you know, they have a Huddersfield Cardiff back to back in game weeks 13 to 14. So, you know, I'm not panicking yet, but I guess I'm just a little like, you just wonder if maybe like just that three at the back, you know, it's does that just make things a little leaky for them now? Yeah. I mean, a lot of Premier League teams have experience playing against that now, right? Because it was so in vogue, you know, a couple of years ago. And maybe they're just relying on Patricio's heroics a little bit too much too to
all keep, right. So what would be the move you'd think about? So we're talking about you're say in the top 25K, You need to have the forethought to jump on another defense that's going to have a string of clean sheets, whereas other people are still having patience with Wolves. Who are the top candidates for you there? Are you looking at Duff and Dunkey? Duffy and Dunk, and I always do that.
Did you? You weren't even joking that time? That's amazing. I was. I guess I would look at Duff and Dunkey. I would. Brighton have a great run. Duffy in particular, I think his ownership is around 5%. Cardiff, Leicester, Huddersfield in the next three. The Leicester matches at home. Palace at home in game week 15. Burnley away in game week 16. It's a great run. I mean, I assume that you're going to be, playing Matt Ryan, at least for some of these matches. Yep. Yeah. And, it's kind of tricky. I mean, I guess Liverpool actually, maybe it's tricky because I feel like we're like 4 weeks into this whole situation with Gomez and Trent and Lovren, and we still don't really know what's going on there. Right. Mm-hmm. Like we just don't know what the best version of that is, like who, so tempting to recommend Lovren because like nobody has him still and he's on 4.8 million or something like that. Might be worth it, but then have possible injury risk right now, right? I don't know what's going on with him. He's got something's wrong.
Emotionally fragile.
He's got a knock. He's got a generic knock. So something's going on with Lovren. I hope it lasts for a little while longer because I really want to have TAA at home to Fulham in game week 12.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe a double up there.
Okay.
I mean, you could just go with Van Dijk too. Yep. He's a 5.9.
Van Dijk could have had a hat trick against Arsenal.
Yeah.
Ridiculous opportunity.
Can't believe it. That one goal. It was like that ball was like rolling in slow motion, because it was like a header, but it was like a header like practically from outside the box, And so it just like rolls so slow. No one could even get there.
Well, even the one where he calmly chests it down, it was just like, I can't remember who put the pass into him, but and he had all the time and he just put it straight into Leno's chest.
You're right. I would love to have Van Dijk right now. That would be a move I would consider. Just downgrading Mitro to a cheaper forward and just upgrading someone to Van Dijk. I don't know. Not easy to pull off actually with my current squad. All right. So final question comes from that Joe guy. He says, Ricardo Pereira, one goal and three assists and nine starts, and now an almost guaranteed starter. I think I quibble a little bit with almost guaranteed. 4.7% ownership. What do you think about Pereira? Maybe that's how you say it.
I like it. I actually put a bid on him on a waiver wire, some draft league that I'm in. So I'm eyeing him up. I do. Uh-huh. It's the year of the fullback. It's been a while since we talked about that, but Pereira is a fullback and it is his year.
Yep.
Decent fixtures coming up, but generally.
Well, he's been playing out of position too. Yeah.
Generally, both of us are a little lukewarm on Leicester City right now. So to give him a full-throated endorsement seems disingenuous, but I don't know. Why not?
Yeah, I just don't love that Leicester team in general. I want out. I just awful. It's just a weird time over there, and I don't think I want any of their players, and so I'm looking to sell.
He is 5.0. That is, I for whatever reason I thought Pereira was a 4.5 guy, so.
Yeah, the 5.0 does make it a little tricky. Although he's had the returns. He was correctly priced, as it turned out. all right, Brandon, game week 12 coming up this weekend. You and I are meeting up, watching matches in person for the first time since the UK trip.
Yeah, excited. We're going to meet Leo Howell, who is an editor for ESPN.com, and watch some matches with
Patreon
him.
Patreon supporter.
Yep. And a Swansea supporter. He keeps us all informed as to how McBurney is doing in the championship. Let's see. Looking at my bus team right now, could you predict who I'm captaining right now on my bus team?
Mohamed Salah would be my...
Mohamed Salah against
uneducated
Fulham.
Uneducated guess.
At home, yes. To Fulham, the worst defense in the league. That is this even going to be, well, of course it's going to be a debate all week. Is Salah worth it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think we're really into having that conversation anymore. But yeah, you got to go.
That seems kind of tiring. Yeah, I mean, it's a conversation that you can continue to have, but it's very tiring. To be honest with you, I think that if Sadio Mane doesn't play in the midweek Champions League fixture, like if he gets rested, I would consider making three transfers, burning four, and finding a way to bring it in my team. That's how confident I am in a massive haul this weekend in that Fulham match. Yeah. I feel like that is the time when a minus four would be justified.
Yeah.
If he plays at midweek, I mean, I actually think one of those forwards, I say forwards, you know, one of those, one of the attackers. People who lead the line for, you know, one of the attackers will get rested in that match. I mean, you obviously don't need the super squad to play Fulham at home. And so I'll be watching that Champions League lineup pretty closely to see who plays. But I wonder if Salah does get arrested midweek. I think there's a chance he does. He felt like he was a little burned out in that the end of that Arsenal match, right? Like he just like didn't had a couple chances near the end. I felt like the energy wasn't quite there in the way it normally is.
This game week 12 is going to be the one of the big weeks where I'm really nervous about this Hazard out for Sterling, because Chelsea hosting Everton is a pretty decent fixture, I think, for Hazard.
I mean, the thing to keep in mind, though, is that, I mean, it's Man City at home, and I mean, they're destroying everybody. And we just saw Man United's defense against Bournemouth, and it was like they got humiliated. Like they won that game and their defense was still humiliated. Yeah. You know, like it's rare that you win 2-1 and it was kind of embarrassing, you know, because they Bournemouth really should have had like three goals the first half of that game. And like, I know there's like a, you know, so many Man United fans out there, but I know they feel the same way about this team, right? Which is like, they just should be better than they are. And like, they really should have spent some money to upgrade that defense. You know, it's just, it is not a defense like of the caliber of a club their size.
Yep.
And something's got to change in January, I would think.
All right. So keeping with the theme of the episode, looking at differentials that might come good in game week 12, I thought Danny Ings looked pretty good today, even though Southampton got stomped. Starting at home to Watford is an interesting shout.
Another player with surprisingly low ownership. He's one of those players that gets talked about a lot. So you think that his ownership is high, but he's actually at 5% right now. So definite differential option. They play Watford and Fulham in their next two. Not a long-term option, I don't think, because they have a really tough run in game weeks 14 through 17. They play Man United, Spurs, and Arsenal. But for a short-term pick, I think he's kind of interesting.
Yeah, Glenn Murray was the other striker we talked about in terms of differentials away to Cardiff, the first kickoff on Saturday. That's a great fixture for Friar Murray.
Exactly.
We have to talk about this Arsenal Wolves game, though, because you obviously hate Wolves defense now. So, what do you think? If I'm a Lacazette owner, based on your feeling about Wolves defense, do you think Lacazette is a captaincy shout?
They've looked pretty good on the road this year. I don't know. No, I mean, not if you have a Liverpool player. Like, if you don't have any Liverpool players, like somehow, then sure. But I mean, even then, I'd probably, if you didn't have, I mean, this is like, it's like becomes like so theoretical. You're like, if you don't have a Liverpool player and you don't have Hazard. I mean, Hazard, I think home to Everton is a really great fixture too.
Yeah. Well, so we didn't even talk about armbands in terms of our big differential discussion. Even if you don't have a differential player, what's the value in playing a differential armband in game week 12?
I don't love differential armbands in general. I think it's just too risky.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, I think with the differential, you're looking to make up, I don't know, 6 to 10 points or something. You're not looking to make up 40, you know, it's very rare that like, that you can bring in a differential and cap. I mean, I guess if you had captain Sterling this, you know, but you're never going to do that. You're always going to captain Aguero. You know, it's just like, it's very tricky. I just don't think I think the differential is the risk. And I think captaining them just doubles the risk. And that's more risk than I'm willing to take on.
Yeah. And with this Liverpool Fulham fixture, just staring down the barrel of the gun at you, it seems like a bad week to go out on a limb there.
Yeah. Just be smart and captain someone from Liverpool, like captain, you know, someone who doesn't start at midweek if you can do it, you know, but or captain a defender. I mean, I guess like Fulham could totally score in that match, but Robertson could pick up two assists too, you know?
Yep.
So,
yeah. All right. So,
all right, Brandon, that's the podcast.
Great. Just a reminder to check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/alwayscheating, where we have information on that starting 11 retro kit contest that we start fresh every month. So the November contest kicked off here in game week 11. Some producer thank yous: Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Nick Costello, Carl Rasmus, Leni Granley, Chris Howell, Rafi Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., Trevor Ingerson, and Chris Carter. Thanks to all of our producers and our Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, special thanks to Chris, our newest producer patron. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, basically anywhere where you could listen to a podcast. You can listen to our podcast. It'd be great if you could go in and give us a 5-star review on iTunes, too. It really helps people to find the podcast, and we're always trying to grow the podcast as much as possible, just because that's part of the fun of doing this. Follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. That's H-A-I-L Cheaters. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can also follow us on Instagram too, Brandon. We don't ever talk about Instagram, but we do definitely post some photos. We have a lot of photos from our UK trip on our Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll definitely be getting some Black Horse photos from this upcoming weekend's fixture. So go find us on Instagram and follow us there. That'd be great. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And if you've zoned out during this whole phase, you should visit the website, alwayscheating.com, and you can find episodes of the podcast and lots more.
I'll do a little teaser. So we sent shirts out to all of our Volkswagen level and producer level patron subscribers. Cool t-shirts. We are now working on a whole suite of swag, bunch of products that will go up on an Always Cheating shop just in time for your holiday shopping. So more news to come on that.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you to everybody for listening, and good luck this weekend. And remember, don't make those transfers until the Champions League matches take place.
Poku forever.
Yep. Poku forever. Always in our hearts.